great message last week. So thanks, Tung, for doing that. And it's always just really good to be back. Good to be here. A couple things on your bulletin. You know, we're going through this series on parenting. Couple announcements for parents. Today, there's if your child is part of the children's choir, there's going to be a stage rehearsal here after the noon worship. So be sure to pick up your child afterwards. Also, you know, not only are we doing missions, we have a big mission field out there in China. We have a lot of focus there. But VBS is such a big thing for us every single year. It's huge. And this year, we're doing things a little bit differently. We're having actually an evening VBS rather than the afternoon deal. And so Pastor Ellie, you know, is always looking for volunteers. And so it's probably a little bit easier on a lot of our schedules to come and volunteer. And so I hope that a lot of you would consider that, you know, because this parenting series that we've been through, I mean, that's our audience out there. I mean, that's what they're living. So many of them are, this is a community that's right over 50% Asian, a lot of them overseas, and they're struggling to raise their children up in this particular culture. So, yeah, definitely think about that, pray about that, and hopefully talk with Pastor Ellie if you're ready to volunteer for that, because we do need the help. Well, again, we're finishing up today our series, Yin-Yang Parenting. And we talked about the East-West cultural differences. Last week, Pastor Tung talked to parents about what their kids need from parents, specifically in this particular context. And today what I want to do is I want to address the majority of us here in this, because you come to this particular second service, that's English service, who grew up in the U.S., and to kind of discover a little bit, how has that affected, how has that shaped how we see ourselves? So just an experiment here, just curious, how many of you, with a show of hands, were born in the U.S. or at least immigrated to the U.S. before the age of 5? Show of hands. Okay, wow, of course, that's like overwhelming majority of you guys. And because of that, you probably assimilated into American culture pretty quickly. In fact, a lot of you guys would even consider yourself American. And I don't know about you, my experience, all throughout my Asian American experience, I've kind of run into an issue through a very simple question. And the question I get when I meet a new person is usually begins with, so where are you from? And I would say, well, I'm from Washington, D.C. And then I'd always get this other question, no, where are you really from? No, really, I was born in Washington, D.C. That's where I'm from. Another way the question kind of, you guys know this, right? And another way the question kind of comes out is, they'll ask you, what's your nationality? Right? And that's kind of a, right away, that's kind of a tough question, a little bit, because I was born in D.C., so my nationality actually is American, right? I mean, the Chinese government does not have ownership of me. I do not have some kind of heart for the Chinese government, right? That's not my citizenship. So they ask me, what's my nationality? And I'll say, American. But then this face, it's just confusing. It's not good enough. No, and they come back, no, what's your real nationality? So you kind of know what they're getting at. And so around Caucasians, I can never be American. I can only be Asian. Now, flip it around. So I grew up in, born in Washington, D.C. My father had got tons of relatives, Taiwanese, and they would come to the U.S., you know, once in a while to visit us and so forth. And when they would come, they would begin talking to me, of course, in Taiwanese, right? And I can understand some and speak even less. And so they would kind of try to talk to me in Taiwanese, and I don't understand it. So my mom or dad has to kind of explain the whole thing. You know, our son, remember, he was born in the U.S., so he doesn't really know a lot about Taiwanese culture, or he doesn't really know how to speak the languages, understand. And so they would look at me, and they would look at me, and they would always say this. They would look at me and say, ah, nishi biko dang. Okay, now some of you guys understand that for your Taiwanese, but what that means is, oh, you're American. And so it's not literal, but indirectly is, oh, you're not Asian. You're not Chinese. You're not Taiwanese. So it's this weird thing that around Caucasians, I'm clearly Asian. And around Asians, I'm clearly American. And it kind of confuses you, doesn't it? You know, this kind of, it can kind of mess with you. And you can see why, how growing up as a minority, that it can really cause some identity issues growing up in where we're the minority in a majority culture. And so then add on top of that one more layer, Christian. All right, you got this other label on you, Christian. I am a Christian Asian American. And then it can get really complicated. Now, again, I was born in Washington, D.C., and I was born in 1970, so I grew up in the 70s and, you know, childhood through there. And I grew up in Annapolis, Maryland. That's where I went for elementary school. And then I did, like, 3-4 years in middle school in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, in my childhood, I can only remember 2 or 3 other Asian families at my school. 2 or 3 others. That's including my family. All right? That's it. So I was like serious, like minority, right? And I had all that, grew up with all the taunts, right? All the, you know, this stuff, right? People go around, yeah, do this, you know, all the, and all the taunts, you know, me Chinese, me play joke, me put pee pee in your Coke. You ever heard that one? You know, just these really silly things, you know? And then, of course, there's the assumption that you either know Bruce Lee or you're related to Bruce Lee or you're his cousin or you know Kung Fu. One of these things, right? That's just kind of what I grew up with. And I wasn't a Christian at the time, was not a believer in God, God follower, like I am today, or how you kind of know to describe. But I remember specifically having conversations with God and saying, God, how come you created me Taiwanese? Really? I mean, I'm just so different. And in a way, I feel like I don't belong anywhere. Because like I'm in both of these two worlds, but I feel like I don't belong to either. Because, you know, when I go home, it's so Asian, so Chinese, and I feel so, you know, you feel kind of so American inside, but when you're outside, you kind of, in the majority context, you feel kind of more Asian. And I would say, God, why did you create me this way? It's so hard. And so one of the things that I did to really kind of cope with it was that I downplayed my Asianness. And so I tried to assimilate. You know, you try to assimilate into American culture like as fast and as quick as you can, right? And one of the more harmful things that I told myself growing up, I know this sounds really horrible, especially if you're very Chinese and it sounds horrible, but this is what I said in my mind. I said, American culture is good and Chinese culture is bad. That's kind of what I said to myself. But the truth is that that's how a lot of minorities think about their culture of origin. You know why? It's because we're always comparing ourselves, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, we're always comparing ourselves to the majority culture. Do I measure up? Do I fit in? Do I belong? Am I worthy? Do I have a seat at the table? Am I worthy to have a seat at the table? Do I have something to bring? And so you grow up always feeling a little bit inferior. And this is really, really important for parents to understand this about your kids, that a lot of times they feel this way. But things changed for me, especially in my sophomore year of college. And that's when I became a Christian. And it's interesting that some people think and some people argue that Christianity is a white man's religion. And it's interesting to me because after becoming a Christian, I've never felt so Chinese in my life. Really. And the reason for that is because of this, is because what the Bible talks about, what Jesus talks about. And you know what's really cool is that the Bible validates who you are. Even your culture, the color of your skin, the Bible validates who you are right down to your DNA. There is no white, there is no black. It's just who God made you to be. One of the really cool things that I've kind of learned to do is take a look at Psalm 139. You can turn your Bibles there if you want to. But, you know, I'll tell you, just growing up, sometimes, you know, I felt like, God, when you created me, and you're so just different from everyone else, and you're just this minority in this other culture, and you feel like, man, God, why did you, you know, at least, you know, put me in China. Maybe I'll feel, you know, more at home or something there. Did you make a mistake? And you may have felt that way, and maybe you might have felt, and it would have just been easier just to be Caucasian. But God made you just how he imagined. And so what I've been kind of blessed to do is to learn to read Psalm 139. Oh, by the way, next slide. Yeah, I actually started a blog, okay, and started blogging because people were kind of telling me, Roy, you should really blog. And so I did a little thing on Yin Yang Parenting on my blog, and it's at Roy W. Chang, K.W. Chang, at WordPress.com. And so I thought it'd be kind of cool if we could maybe even kind of share some of our growing up stories, being a minority in a majority, in a different majority culture, okay? So it's up there, Roy W. Chang, WordPress.com. And so it'd be cool if like you want to share some of the stories like that I did too. I think it'd be kind of cool and kind of fun and maybe even find some healing that as well. But Psalm 139, okay? What I've kind of recently understood is to read it in a way that's specific to my particular DNA, okay? And so I'm going to read Psalm 139 to you with my additions as it's specific to my DNA, okay? And it'll go something like this, beginning at verse 13. For you created my inmost, more introverted and reflective being, because that's who I am. You knit me together in my Taiwanese mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. My skin color and my eyes are not a mistake. I look in the mirror and smile. Your works are beautiful. I know that full well. My frame, thankfully with no chest and back hair, was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes, and I started getting contemplative here. Maybe God's eyes are Asian. Maybe God's eyes are Chinese. Maybe your eyes are Chinese. Saw my unformed body. And I love this, how it's so poetic here, that before you were created, before you were born, you were just this unformed mass, kind of like God is the divine potter, and we're this unformed clay. And you know, when an artist sees that lump of clay, he just doesn't see a lump of clay. He sees something that he's already created in his imagination. And so before you were even formed, before you even kind of your frame, anything took shape, God had this spark in his mind. God had this kind of twinkle in his eye that he knew how exactly he was going to create you, what you were going to look like. And that's when he decided, intentionally decided, to make you unique, to give you Asian, to make you Asian, to give you those kind of fingerprints and those kind of looks. All the days, this is so important, all the days ordained for me, including my OBC parents, my friends, my community, my childhood, my upbringing, my struggles, even the pain that came with it. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Why? Because you imagined me. You imagined me. That's so powerful. That is so powerful. And so one of the things I want you to write on your outline if you're taking notes today. It's probably a point that you've never written in your whole life. You never heard in church before. God wants you to value your Asian-ness. All right? God wants you to value your Asian-ness. And if you're not Asian, if you're Caucasian, if you're black or whatever it may be, God wants you to value who you are too. You, even your ethnicity as well. Okay? Because God created you specifically. Okay, this is not a message just for Asians, but this particular context, this is very important because of the East-West dynamic that plays in a lot of our families and the things that we go through. So that's what we're talking about today. So God wants you to value your Asianness. He created you exactly who he wanted you to be. Now, what are the common negative aspects that I hear about Asian cultures? That it's so superstitious. And it's wrapped up in this ancestor worship. And so there's not a lot particularly redeeming about Asian culture. And so it's like totally incompatible with Christianity. And I say, hold up. That's not right. Something's wrong. Is everything in Western culture just great? Is everything in Western culture just holy unto the Lord? We don't have any spiritual practice, superstitious practices here in the U.S., right? Knock on wood. Throw salt over your shoulder. Don't walk under a ladder. Don't open up umbrellas indoors. When you wish upon a star, four-leaf clover, make a wish, blow out the candles. Don't see each other, bride and groom on the wedding day. Cross your fingers, hope to die. Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Halloween, black cats. Friday the 13th. All right, we've got a lot of stuff. We've got and a lot of our superstitious, like horoscopes and things like that, a lot of those things are really based on our fear of the future. And we're so superstitious, we want everything to be okay, and we're just hoping things will line up for us. That'll be good. Culture. Okay, you can write this down, that culture, any culture, is not gospel neutral. Okay? Any culture is not gospel neutral. What that means is that every culture has redeeming qualities, and every culture has qualities that need to be redeemed. And so when you look at Asian culture, when you look at American culture, you look at any culture, you just need to be discerning. We need to be more like the Apostle Paul. And do you remember the conversation he had when he was on his mission trip and he went to Athens and he was talking with the scholars of the day, the scholars and the philosophers of the day. And he says, you know, I notice in your city, I mean, you thought Chinese culture is bad with all the idols. You know, Athens was worse. And he said, there was a multitude, there are thousands of altars to a multitude of gods. And he could have easily gone in there with the mindset, hey, you know, the Jewish background, you know, we've been so monotheistic, you need to be more like us. You need to be more like our culture. Because your culture with all these gods you have, it's just whacked. It's just messed up. You just need to start all over. So let me tell you how to be a little more Jewish. He could have done that. But I'm so thankful he didn't. Instead, what he did is he looked into culture and he found, this is Acts chapter 17, he found what was redeeming about their culture. He took aspects of the culture and showed them how they actually point to the reality of God and the revelation of God. And remember, he said, I saw one altar, and it had this inscription, and it was dedicated to an unknown God. And he took that, and he said, you know what? You guys are so spiritual. He used that. He used their idolatry and said, you all are so spiritual. And he used that as a launching point to show them how their culture, how even things in their culture were redemptive. And that is so cool. I think that is so cool. And a couple weeks ago, as I was preparing for the message, you know, Pastor Ho and I, we worked together on the first one. And what he did was he showed me some of the Chinese, how some of the aspects of Chinese culture, specifically Chinese characters, point to a spiritual reality. And this was so cool. It made me like really like proud, like, you know, of my Asian culture. And so I want to share a couple of these things, these characters with you, okay? So the first character, okay, does anyone know what that character is? Wow, a lot of you guys know that one. A lot of boaters here, okay, that's all right. Okay, so that is the character, that is I, which is love, right? What I need, right? That one, okay? So everyone knows that. And so I want to deconstruct that character for you for a second. That middle there, where you see kind of that loop, it looks like a half, you know, it's like a circle. That's the symbol for the heart. So you have the heart with like its four chambers, right? Pretty cool. And so love in Chinese, this is going to blow you away, okay, begins with the heart, okay? On top, the character on top, right, is the symbol for breath. And then the character on the bottom, it looks like a person kind of moving, right? That is the character for graceful movement. So the Chinese understanding of what love is something that's a breath from above that gives life to the heart. And when you're filled with that breath and that life to the heart, it makes you extend grace to others. Isn't that cool? That is so cool. You know, growing up in the U.S., and with your parents if they were overseas, I know you thought love was getting an A+, not an A-, but an A+, getting to the best schools. Oh, man, my parents love me. And you thought that, gosh, man, Chinese love is just so conditional. Man, Chinese love, this is ancient, guys. This is the ancient understanding of what love is in their language. Someone said, it's about the heart. And we get this kind of breath. We don't know where it comes from, but from above, it's this thing that it fuses our heart. It gives us life. And through that, we extend grace to other people. That is just so awesome. Because it's not like our Western L-O-V-E, I love Nordstrom's, I love my wife, right? That has no meaning. This is powerful. Powerful stuff. You know, even reflects character of God. Okay, next character. Anyone know what that is? Wow, a lot of you guys, you're saying it, because I don't know how it's pronounced. But anyway, it means, this is the character for revelation. revelation. Or more literally, it means heaven sent. Heaven sent. Okay? This is really cool. Paul would have loved this. He would have jumped on this. If he saw this, he would be like, oh my goodness, because this is what it means. Okay? Those two lines up above, that represents heaven. Okay? And then the three vertical lines coming down, that represents light and power coming from above, from heaven, coming earthward towards us. Okay? So the idea behind this, the character of Revelation, is that that which is revealed by God above, and there are three lines coming down from heaven. Does that like ring any bells? I mean, if Paul saw that, he'd be like, you guys got three lines coming down from, let me tell you about those three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He would say, even your culture points to the reality of the triune, the Trinity-ness of God. Is that cool? That's cool. Okay, I'm going to freak you out one more. Okay, freak you out. All right? What's this character? What? Lai Chapong, Lai, right? Okay, yeah, okay. So, just look at that. You see the cross there, right? So Lai is a very common word in Chinese. It means come. It means come. That's what it means, okay? And what that represents, those characters, they look like people. It's people. So it's basically three people there. And the idea is three people under one roof. So we kind of all kind of come together, get together, right? But one way, I mean, just look at it. It's like the cross. It looks like the cross with the two thieves on each side. This would have been Paul's ultimate favorite character, right? I mean, he would have looked at it and said, whoa. And he would have thought when Jesus said, come to me all your way. And he would come and say, even your culture is like displaying the message of the gospel that, you know, you, everyone is welcome. Come. Even you Chinese people, even you Asian people, even you Thailand people, even you, you know, African Americans, even you, whatever. It's like this gospel thing is not confined to, it's universal. And we're not trying to like indoctrinate you and convert you to be something else. No, God respects you even in your culture. This is so cool. Value, even in our Asian culture, you don't just throw it all out. There's so much good stuff and there's so many things that point to the reality of God. That's why you need to value your Asian American identity, because when you learn to embrace the best of both East and West, you learn to embrace yourself. All right? Now, what about Christianity? Okay? How does Christianity then, because that's what kind of like one more layer, how does that affect who I'm becoming? And this is huge. This is really big. Now, in college, a lot of times, students, sometimes they go on these foreign exchange programs, right? They don't call that anymore because that word foreign is very, not politically correct. So they use terms like cultural immersion experiences. So the idea is that if I go to a foreign place and stay there for a particular amount of time, that by just because of time, I'm going to start inheriting all the culture, the value, the norms, the idiosyncrasies and all that, and I'll become like them, okay? And I just want to tell you, this is not how Christianity works. This is so different. Christianity is not just some other culture. It's not some other kind of subset or subculture. It doesn't work like that. And this is really important because there are a lot of people here, even here in church, and you've grown up in church, and you've been immersed in church culture. You've been immersed in evangelical culture. And in our context, because I haven't been a Christian for like, you know, a really long time, but sometimes we even mix the Chinese culture and we just wrap it up in spiritual terms and we say, this is the gospel. And tell you the truth, I know so many people have been hurt by that. Because we take all of our Eastern values and we wrap it up in spiritual language and say, this is what you're supposed to be as a Christian. So as a good Christian, you're always supposed to obey your parents, respect your parents, everything. And of course, you know, you got to do really well in school. As a Christian, you got to get all A pluses in school. Do you see that? And it just really starts warping really what Christianity is all about. And in our kind of subculture today, we got CCM, we've got Christian schools, we got homeschools, we got bumper stickers, we got bumper fish, we got values voters, we got Sunday school, Sunday service, right? And these things are good, maybe, most of them, okay. But This is not Christianity. And you can feel like you're Christian by being in Christian circles and kind of doing the Christian thing. You know, if your Christianity is like a cultural immersion experience, that's not what Christianity is. Christianity is a spirit-baptized, spirit-immersing in immersion of your heart to fill you and transform you. It is not outside culture influencing you. It is a spirit-filled infusion changing you from the inside out. It's Jesus Christ who died on the cross. And when you receive him, his spirit comes in and fills you and changes. It's an inside job. It's not bumper, it's not the outward things at all. This is God changing you from the inside. This is God redeeming every part of you, including your soul, because no culture can do that. And one of the things I noticed is sometimes people get really freaked out when you talk about the Spirit. Man, when Paul talks about the Spirit, he uses terms of like the natural man, right? The natural man and then the fleshly man. When you become Spirit-filled, you become the most natural person God intended you to be. You feel natural in your own body. You feel natural in your own skin. Christian, Asian, Americans, God made you exactly how he wanted you to be. He made you exactly, no mistake, no mistake. And so that is freeing when you really start thinking about it. Why? Because you stop the comparisons. Because we're always comparing ourselves to the majority culture. And you need to stop that. And it's trying to be like something else. Guys, you know, don't do the mustache, okay? You got hairs an inch apart, don't look right, okay? Don't try to do that stuff, okay? Ladies, girls, like there's this thing I know, it's like about the eyelids, and you get the surgery and stuff like that to make have a more European eye. Like, yeah, don't do that stuff. Don't do that stuff. Use tape or something else, you know. But don't get the surgery, okay? Just don't do the surgery. God created you. God made you. God loves you. God made you just the way, he intended you to be. And when we start embracing our identity and our whole identity, which includes our Asianness, guys, which includes our Asianness, sometimes we think, you know, it's like we have the conception. Well, here's something that might blow you away, okay? When you go to heaven, we don't all become the same. Or we don't all become one race. When you look at Revelations, it's every tribe, tongue, language, whatever. It's every people group that is worshiping there. In other words, when you go up, you're still Asian. Yeah. Because God made you that way. It's not like I go up and then, hey, I'm white. Whoa. I've always wanted to be white. No. And I hope there's nothing here that's being offensive to any of our Caucasians here, because I love you. And this is just a particular mindset I'm addressing with Asian Americans as a minority here. You got to value who God created you exactly how he wanted you to be. And again, when you begin to embrace that particular identity of who God created you to be, what it is that we find, you look at passages, for example, like Romans 5:8 and like 1 Corinthians 12, that talk about our uniqueness in the body of Christ. The next verse, 1 Corinthians 12:18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And so in our uniqueness, and every people group, you know, they all have different uniquenesses they bring. We bring something unique to the body of Christ. And so I was thinking about this this past week. What do we, as kind of Asian Americans, what can we bring that's unique to the body of Christ? And if you want to write these down, I got about five things here, okay? First is that I think we can be some of the best bridge builders. What do I mean by that? You know, because we know what it's like living in kind of two worlds but feel like we belong to neither, we can help others through this struggle. We can help parents understand their kids and kids understand their parents. That's why we did this series. That is exactly why we did this series and why we did it in all three services, how to translate and everything, because we know that we want to connect these two groups that sometimes can be so difficult. Take it one step further, okay? You can be bridge builders in business mediation, conflict resolution, peacemaking ministries, racial reconciliation. Why? Because we know what it is to like try to bridge two worlds. All right, second thing. I think as Asian Americans, we can bring a richer devotional life to the church. Again, it's because of this tension that we've grown up in. You notice that when we talked about the Eastern and Western values the first time we did this, some of the values, they're just polar opposites. They're just extremes, and we have to kind of live in that. Have you noticed that when it comes to God's nature and God's character, have you noticed that his character is like the majority, it's all described in extremes and polar opposites, like a paradox? He's fully God. He's almighty. He's fully God. But at the same time, he's fully human. Total opposites. He is the almighty, eternal being, timeless, wrapped up in human flesh, confined human flesh. We understand God to be that ultimate final arm of justice and righteousness, and yet he is unending in compassion and forgiveness and grace. God is far into the heavens, right? But he takes up residence in our hearts. And then probably one of the greatest paradoxes of all, when the writer Hebrews says, he who had no sin was made sin for us. It's like, blow your mind away. These opposites. And we live in that tension. And so I think that even theologically, I think Asian Americans and Asian American theologians can add a voice to this tension, because we live in that tension. And we allow God, we can allow God to be tension-y. We can allow God to be a paradox. We can allow him to be a mystery in our minds, because that's how we see life. That's how we've lived in this kind of yin-yang experience. Third, here's a real important one. We can bring a healthier sense of community. And I think that if we can find that healthy balance of Western individualism with a great balance of that Eastern hardcore commitment to community, and to the betterment of thinking about others in the community, I think you found a little bit of heaven on earth. I really do. I think people are longing for that kind of community. Fourth, we can bring our education, right? And I didn't like this one, but because it sounds so stereotypically Asian, but honestly, statistically, you know, our parents are doing some good stuff for us, all right? I mean, education in this world, it is a gift. And statistically speaking, Asian Americans, we have the highest percentage of graduate degrees. Okay? That's just the truth. I'm not talking about among minorities. I'm talking about in our whole culture, even among whites. We have the highest percentage of graduate degrees. And so you got to think about that. And you got to ask yourself, how am I stewarding that? How am I stewarding my education? That's what I love so much about our Vision Tech team, because they're giving us just yet another avenue to steward our education, to steward what God has given to us. All right, and the fourth and the fifth and perhaps the greatest thing as Asian Americans is we can bring our pain. I know that sounds a little odd too, but one of the gifts that we can bring to the church is we can bring our pain, because we've all gone through the struggle of trying to like figure out our identity. And in that struggle, we can help point others to the God who will define them. And point them to the God who is the one who actually created them, who had that spark in his eye. And that is a tremendous gift for anyone, to be able to look in the mirror and smile and like what you see and be comfortable in your own skin. That is a gift. Have you given that gift to anyone? Because there are a lot of people, I look at our youth and I can just tell. I look into some of their eyes, and I just know this is exactly where they're struggling. They don't even like themselves. They don't even know who they are. Can you give that gift to someone? When you go out there, there's a lot of people out there. That's what they're struggling with, especially in a community like ours. Give that gift to them. And so God wants us to really value and embrace, because our ages, that's part of who we are. And so, church, I hope that, right, even right now, it's like, you feel in the love. I hope the Holy Spirit is kind of giving you this love, because God loves you so much. He loves you. He created you just the way that you are. And I hope you're loving yourself. You're receiving that love just like God loves you. And one thing's just really important. Don't walk out of here with Asian pride. Okay, with A-Z-N, pride. Don't walk out of here with Asian pride. Asian pride, A-S-I-N, because that's how it's spelled. Asian pride is not about boba tea, anime, and really loud cars, really loud Honda Civics. Okay, that's not what Asian pride is about, right? Asian pride is about this. A-S-I-A-N, pride, is about this. It's about boasting in the Lord, the God who beautifully, wonderfully created each of us in his own image. These eyes are not an accident. And we're on this journey, okay? We're on this journey where the change is not coming from this cultural immersion. God is giving each of us on this journey where he's redeeming the full person. The full person, even our souls, to reflect more and more his glorious image. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord God, we just want to thank you so much for this morning. And thank you, Father, so much for just your amazing love for us. And I just pray, Father, today that redemption was received this morning. And if there's someone here that's just really hating themselves, someone that's just really struggling with looking in the mirror and perhaps not liking what they see, or someone who's just kind of lost in who they really are, Father, I pray that this would be a healing balm for them today. And I pray that you'd speak words of encouragement and words of affirmation and words of validation that you created us in all of our Asianness, or whatever ethnicity or whatever background you are. God, you created us with that in very mind. And you called it beautiful, you called it wonderful, Lord. It's what you perfectly had designed for each of us. And Father, help us, Lord, here to stop the comparisons, to stop the judging, to stop trying to be something that we're not. God, you've perfectly, beautifully, and wonderfully made each of us. May we embrace the person that you've called us and created us to be, a person that reflects more and more, Father, your glorious image. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Amen, church. Amen.